Blast off. He just counted me in. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, hello, everyone. How are you doing? It's Radiance by Design time, meaning you and I are choosing how we radiate into the world. And that sometimes isn't an easy choice. Have you ever found have you ever found out, blah, 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 goes my tongue all twisted up. I guess I washed it and can't do a thing with it. But in any case, have you ever noticed that sometimes you can't seem to make any choice because you're kind of thumped by whatever the collective's going through, or somebody you were just talking to, you get just pulled down because even though you're whippity snippity fast at being able to assess other people's energy and what kind of preferences you put out into the world, we can all get blindsided. And the good thing about that is you don't have to be arrogant about how great you are at it because you get to change it. Of course, your core energy vibration, it can be very high and actually can keep going up in spite of it. But what you put out there emotionally, what you interact with other people, is sometimes beyond your conscious awareness. And that's something we want to learn how to be conscious about, making a difference. So I was just telling, I have a lot of things I want to talk about. I want you to call in too. I love that part. But anyway, I was just talking to Dawn about having heard a thing on NPR today. Some of you probably heard it. And they were talking about how studies show that the span of attention is now shorter than it used to be. Well, I was really, really amused at that. Not amused, but bemused maybe is a better term. Interested in this little 10-minute segment on one of the NPR shows today. And I found it fascinating that they didn't even put a big toe or a little toe or a half of a fingernail into the arena that I consider to be fascinating. And I wanted to know what you think about this. And from my perspective, it is that because the world has been blanketed with like various levels of empowerment amongst people and leaders and pharaohs and kings and monetary leaders and teeming masses of people who are really poor and some who are very rich. And this whole thing has been strewn around our planet ever since, Cain and Abel, or, you know, ever since time began. As soon as you got an issue of power and you've got resources, you've got hierarchies, people wanting to lead, people wanting to gather supports and all that kind of stuff. And then motivating us to follow them by whatever the terms are that they use. For example, I've been a little lately mesmerized by, I think somebody triggered in me the awareness that the Crusades were started by, I don't even remember all the details, but essentially the Crusades, which sent a lot of young people, mostly boys, I think, off to war for Christ, were really battles for land, battles for power, battles for the Middle East, battles for this and that. And on it goes. It's like we've had it marketed that these guys are out there as saints and sacrificial lambs for God. And, you know, guess what? A little bit of bamboozling going on there. And if you flip through the pages of history, you find out just about everything, you know, trying to get over to India to get the hold of their spices. So many things through history, brilliant, brilliant things, have been done in order to gain the power, the resources, the domination of the people over and over and over again. And as you know, I am not what you call a Christian right, but I have often seen, I love Jesus and I love other great beings who, to me, have come into the human milieu and really tried to step up the frequency and tell us to unlimit ourselves because we can move up and out of what we think are the normal limitations of life. We can move up and out. We can learn about energy. We can transform situations. We can be what we term as magical when we can't explain how things work, right? And Jesus said, and he was doing healings and all kinds of magical things, anything I can do, these and more, I think is the biblical term, these and more shall you do in the name of the Father. Basically, it was absolutely clear that he wasn't the only guy in town that could do this. He was saying, I'm here to show you the way and the truth and the light. And so the more I get cynical about religions and truth and blah, 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 the more I get really clear, since I have for many years off and on have what I call Jesus come and stand in front of me. The first times it happened, I cried and I thought I was losing my mind because that wouldn't happen. Or as Majaya Bhagavati said when he showed up in her world, she said, you're in the wrong house. Don't you know we're Jewish here? She is a very interesting guru teacher, somebody who has brilliant, brilliant leadership ability. But in any case, I don't think Jesus himself, herself, whatever you want to call it, whether he's an ET, and that's another discussion we need to have, or an ascended being, or a leader of a very small sect of wanderers in the Middle East, it doesn't really matter, because to me anyway, he represents a kind of a being whose light and personal empowerment is what he shared with people, is the empowerment that you and I can have, right? And then if you jump from that whole concept, you know, we weren't taught that. We weren't taught that we could just run around and do what he did. We were taught to kind of bless him and then watch while they scourged him because, and I want to jump ahead to say the people that created the Rife machines, and in the 30s when the Rife machines could, when they were used, they could cure cancer. A lot of the hyperbaric rooms they used to have, people would sit in there and they'd play pianos in there and so on, and they would get over dreaded diseases. So what happened? What happened to all that? Many, many, many products like J.P. Morgan and Tesla doing his free energy stuff and electricity and so on, and J.P. Morgan being threatened because that was going to dull the markets for oil. What happened is he dulled Tesla's ability to get along in the world. And Jesus was hung up on the cross, if that's exactly what happened. But for sure, he was killed. Kennedy was killed. There's a few people. And so you go back to the Rife machine. And during the 30s, I believe it was, they used to go around and destroy Rife machines. You couldn't even find one. Now they're all over the world because of the internet. They can now create them, and people are reaping the benefits of those and many other brilliant designs and brilliant innovations that mankind has created. We have machines that, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that the information has come up, but through the centuries and centuries, because of power, greed, money, needing to dominate huge bunches of people and to keep people enslaved, we have seen the dulling of amazing human potential so that the market wouldn't be disrupted. I find it really, really fascinating. And I was just saying to somebody that I was online yesterday because I'm writing another book. My book's coming out soon, actually, everybody. But I'm writing another book. And what I was starting to do in order to enhance some of the things I was saying in my book was look up the etymology or the history of all kinds of illnesses on our planet and linking it to what the markets preferred. For example, I always refer to pellagra. Pellagra is a B3 deficiency, but it was a dreaded disease where a lot of people got it and their skin and everything went absolutely crazy, weird, and painful, and their brains went bonkers. It sort of makes me think about Alzheimer's and what is creating that. But in any case, they knew that pellagra was caused by corn and some of the grain storage that was being stored in the wrong way, and it was denaturing the actual dried grain. I think it was corn. And so instead of getting rid of it, guess what they did? They used it in all kinds of places like orphanages or institutions and so on. And the pellagra went on just beautifully. Thank you very much. They had institutions for that as well. But And the irony is they did know that this corn, this dried product, was keeping people nutritionally deficient, but they didn't want to alter the marketplace. So it took a couple of really revolutionary thinkers, finally, Abram Hoffer from Canada, to finally really inject the fact that everybody was needing B3, niacin. And when that happened, boing, no pellagra, boing. You know, it's like, and I think it was hundreds of years, or 100 anyway, before the markets would allow this correction. And, you know, what is today's? We've got Alzheimer's. We've got a lot of brain stuff. We've got pharmaceutical ravaging of people's brains. I'm sorry. I know you need pharmaceuticals sometimes. But I just heard some more stories about suicide in people that were on, I guess, Robin Williams is one of the best examples. But many people who are on antidepressants and mind-altering pharmaceuticals will kill themselves in time, because whatever happens to the brain through those can make somebody clinically depressed and worse. And I think that it's so typical. Look at the Mad Hatters way back when. They had lead in how they made hats, and those guys kind of went bonkers, didn't they? Or how many of us were loaded with mercury in our fillings and heaven knows in our vaccinations, and what effect has that had? Isn't it interesting? It's like, through time, and now we've got news. The news is marketed to be sensational. It's not marketed to get you informed. Matter of fact, we're very carefully cutting back on education funding. And we use a lot of the media to keep people buying, to keep people corralled, so they'll all do the same thing. And they can be, it's like having a big religion. You get the people having enough rules, and they behave themselves, don't they? I always tell the story of being a Catholic. I'm getting really revolutionary today. I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind. Hope you'll call in with your opinions. But I remember when I was young, and I was thinking of leaving the Catholic religion for a number of reasons. But before I could officially do it in my own heart and soul, I made an appointment with the priest and said I really wanted to ask him a few questions. And I was always curious, curious, curious. So basically, my question was really simple. It was, Father, why is it the same punishment we go to hell if we miss Mass on Sunday or if we kill someone? It's the same. And he said, he looked at me, he said, it's very logical. We had to create that law in the 15th century to keep the masses in line. I said, well, what about today? And he said, well, you can't change laws. And I said, thank you, and I left. That was it. That was it for me. It's because there's no, where's God in all that, you know? Where's the great creator? And where's that empowerment that humanity has? And so now we've got wars all over the world. It's absolutely incredible. We've got destroyed huge sections of Mother Earth. We understand about frequencies, vibrations. We understand about atmospheric problems. We understand all that. The science has proven all that. We understand even about glycophosphates and how they cause cancer, and they've known that for many, many years. There were cures for Alzheimer's that they had in the World War II times. It's really interesting. There's a lot about the marketplace that keeps us in line. What do you think of that? I hope you're going to talk to me about this sort of thing tonight, because we're going to keep launching into various aspects of it. But in the meantime, so as we're not enslaved, everybody, let's do our coherent, let's start creating. Because remember what Jesus said, in the name of the Father, any of these gifts I have, any of these amazing magical things I can do, you could do them too. But we have to, he didn't say this part, but when he said to me anyway, when he said, in the name of the Father, that tells me that it's just a much greater source of power than NPR or BBS radio or your mouth to my ear, that sort of thing. It's a much greater power than that. And whether you believe in God or whether you believe in high frequency energies or whether you believe in multidimensional reality, doesn't matter. It's something you can call in and employ within yourself, right? So as we do our meditation together, remember we're connecting and we're doing some high frequency meditations using sacred geometrics, and then we're radiating that out so that you and I are creating a community of coherent fields in which people can step into their own power and make a huge difference out there. Maybe we can do tremendous healing. What do you think of that? So join me as we do this part, which is close your eyes and imagine how many of us, or envision how many of us, are connected. Yeah. And we're connected over the focus of our shared meditation. Good. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. It's a very, very shiny, bright golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a filament of light, a gorgeous filament of light, from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. So you're essentially on a spit, right? And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a gold pyramid. And upside down, pointing into the lower golden ball, another pyramid. You put the two together, base to base, and you've got yourself a diamond, a great big diamond. Remember, we're inside of it. Just inside the diamond, create a crystal, shimmering crystal ball. Shimmer, 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 crystal ball. You can just see all the colors in it. It's beautiful. It's the feminine energy. And inside of that, let's see our star tetrahedron. I want you to see that star tetrahedron. And it's the three-dimensional Star of David. See yourself inside of it. And let's spin and spin and spin and spin in our star, in our light body, in our Merkaba. And as you spin and spin and spin, you can feel your fields going higher, can't you? You're flinging off the old stuff and you're really activating your light body. And as you spin and spin, look in front of you and see there's some magical screens. And on the first screen, there you are becoming what it is you want to become. I don't know if you want to become rich and famous, you want to become the king of the world, queen of the world. You want to become something within yourself to embody certain qualities, certain talents. All right? I always say I want to become consciously multidimensional. And when you see yourself becoming, literally becoming that, wrap that in light. Good. And now the second screen, you're creating something. One of your projects, one of your wonderful favorite projects. Maybe it's home and family. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a world travel. Maybe it's international or interdimensional travel. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's a book, a movie, anything you want, a healing technique, laughter. There you go. And see all the resources coming to you. You're attracting in all the resources to help you create your project. Good. And just see all the resources, the time, the money, the place, the time, that's it, the time, the money, the place, the people, the resources that you need. And see all the pieces coming together for your project to be so successful. And as your project peaks and it becomes just perfectly done, see all the time and the money and the place and the to keep that project successful for as long as its natural life. That's right. And when you see that happening, yay! Give yourself some applause. Wrap it all in light. Move it over to the side. And now let's create the Galactic Healing Center. I love that part. Now you're in a star tetrahedron and spinning and spinning. Let's see our Galactic Healing Center also spinning and spinning. Why not? Put it in a star and spin it and spin it. And in there, we have a bed, a healing table. And surrounding the healing table, you have a little team of healing guides. They come from your healing team, because we each have one, right? We have a healing team. Good. That's it. And so we want, I can feel the buzzing. Can you? I love it. And you want to lie on that table, because this first person that goes onto the table is you. So lay on the table and look round at your healing team. Aren't they wonderful? Look at their eyes. Are they not just sort of radiant? And the compassion and the beauty. Good. And now ask them for what it is you need, or ask them, gee, what do I need? Or you might have a sore hip, or you might have an anxious brain, or you might have whatever you want. You tell them what you need. And if you don't know, ask them what you need. And now let's feel what they do. That's it. Let's feel what they do for you. There you go. That's it. And ask them if they have, they might even have some advice for you. That's it. Good. And now let's wrap that in light. When you can feel that energy moving through you, and you can feel something happening with yourself, you can wrap that in light and move it over to the side, and we'll have a fresh healing table. And we could bring in someone who needs a little help here. And now what I'm seeing is a number of people. There's a lot of people that need help. I'm looking at someone whose energy has been very, very conflicted in her spine. There's a whole bunch of sections. Now, this is interesting, because several people that I've worked with lately have literally, remember we talked about being enslaved, about the planet and the systems of gathering people and keeping people under the rules or the rulership of whoever is not necessarily benevolent rulership. But I've been talking to a number of people who are in relationships in which they have been suppressed and they don't even know it. So what I'm seeing is one woman here, and this is just a really good example. So I want you to pay attention to your own lives, because maybe we all do this to one another when we're looking for security from each other, looking for identity from each other, okay? So I'm seeing this one woman, and she had all the way up her spine, she had these really dark patches. I'm looking going, oy, my goodness. And it turns out her husband, who is now leaving her, has had really wild and woolly affairs for years and years, even before they got married, but she didn't know that. It's been 28 years. But the thing is, looking at her, I knew at some level she knew. And when the suppression is that she kept going for the sake of her marriage and the businesses and so on that they shared, but she suppressed any thoughts of doubt about him. But he had a long string of these things happening, you know. When you think about it, we do know, don't we? And what she was doing was sacrificing. She probably did a lot of things for herself, but in this case of the relationship, she was sacrificing who she was to stay secure in that relationship. I want you to think about that. I'm not thinking everybody should break up, but I do believe this. That, and the guides are really working with her on this right now, that to be who you really are, when your life ends, to be who you really are, to be purely self-investigative or self-expressive, that's what you take with you. That's what your wonderful beingness soul travels out in the universes with. I see people who have been from many galactic centers. And that's what they're looking for. It's not just being in one place and getting the gold watch. No, no, no. It's gathering a lot of information. Good. And here we go again. Now we're going to help this woman whose suppressions are tremendous, but I've got three or four more beds here. Okay. And there's one who's in chronic pain, and her bones have been challenging her and so on. But I would say that her thing has been suppression all along. And the team, her healing team, is working with her, almost unhooking. In both cases, they're actually unhooking from vertebrae to vertebrae. They're unhooking some really tremendous suppressions that she did in order to keep herself strong. So it's interesting, it's in the spine, because the spine is the part of your body that's supposed to keep you up. It's your backbone, right? All right, so we're seeing her do this. Now, I've seen two men here, and both of them, we're talking suppression today, I guess. We're talking enslavement, aren't we? We're enslaved by our needs a lot of the time and our emotions, right? So we're just playing with this whole concept to see about liberating mankind. And liberation has a lot to do with being your true self. So now I'm seeing a gentleman here who is very much responsive and very responsible for his family life. But he's extremely suppressed because he's very martyred, very victimized by the success of his family life and the success of his job. Have you ever met anybody like that? And you can see it. When you look at each other's eyes, I want you to practice, for those of you who are new at this, I want you to practice seeing how the eyes kind of shade, the color gets shaded when people are suppressed. It's a hard way to explain it, I don't know. But when you look at people's eyes, you can tell. The people that aren't feeling particularly suppressed, at least right now, will have a certain spark in their eyes or a certain love link. The ideal is to become who you really are and love people and the amazing journey that we're on, rather than be fearful and competitive and egregious and greedy and power mongering, you know, all that stuff, right? So let's bring in someone else, shall we? Oh, I said I have two men here. One of these men hasn't been touched yet. His suppression is interesting because he's a very, what would you call it? He's a very, very sensitive, a little bit of a fragile fellow. And what he does in a state of suppression is he backs up and he doesn't, how can I put this? He doesn't, he just stays in the background a lot. And he observes and he doesn't participate. And that's his way of staying suppressed. Well, I can understand that too. I think we all do some of that. But I'm looking at him and I'm going, it's pulling on his thyroid and it's pulling on his gastrointestinal. And the team, his team is, oh, and he gets headaches. His team is working on him and his head and his belly, because the two go together. The belly is where your neurotransmissions, a lot of them anyway, come up first and foremost. Then they get to the brain. And the brain is an amazing computer that runs old programs. So we're watching, there we are. Now we're watching him, and the healing team is working on both his brain and his belly all at the same time. There we go. Now we're going to scoot through all four of these people and see if their backs have released. Yeah, there we are. That's right. And now we're going to wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now let's, I was wondering if we want to do, here's a lady who's got a very, this lady has come in. She's quite a big lady, actually. She's come in and laid on the table, and she has a big pain in her knee and her foot. Oh, and there's another lady whose feet are really driving her crazy. She's worked really hard in her life. She's a bit of a farmer, and her feet are extremely painful and very vulnerable. She doesn't know what to do. And the other lady's got a difficult knee. There we go. And it's almost like when she favors the knee, her whole lower leg becomes very frail. So the healing team is going to work on both of these women. One of the women, it's like the ankle and the soles of her feet that are really bad. And what they're doing is working with her, even whispering to her and talking to her about aspects of her ankle and her lower leg because of her childhood. And even though she's a little older now, her childhood is still the underpinning source of her feeling supported and secure. And these team beings, these beautiful, beautiful angelic beings, are speaking with her about the fact that her security should not be based on memory. Her security should be based on the fact that she's quite in touch with her higher fields and with the high, there we are, with her higher self. As soon as I say that, and they're working with her legs and so on, then as soon as we say that we're in touch with the higher fields, her legs become stronger. And what looks like a fluctuating insecurity that runs through the left ankle mostly and the left calf, but something to do with the right thigh and knee. As soon as we talk about that insecurity that could be responded to through the higher self, her legs start to get strong, because instead of having this wavering energy running through them, guess what? They're being fueled by what they call the free energy, right? The chi, the prana. You've got a bunch of names for it too. But it's like using your head, using your intention, using your ability to scour some of these old fears out of the, for example, legs. Now let's move to the other woman who's got such an excruciating right leg. And it's like her lower leg from the knee is terribly bulgy with swelling. Let me see. And I want to say, this is a rather big lady, and I want to say that in the belly area, which houses everybody else's influence, she has a lot of drama and trauma in there. And that's really affecting how she goes forward in her life, isn't it? You know that. It's having a huge impact on how she's going forward in her life. There we are. And so the healing team is working on not just her leg. They're working on her lower back, the area of vulnerability. They're working on her belly. They're working on her throat chakra. And they're working on her brain. They haven't even got to her legs yet. Isn't that interesting? But as they do all these other things, her legs are beginning to buzz. Even that lower part of the right leg, which looks like it's been it's smaller, as if it doesn't get any juice. That's what it looks like to me. And when they work on her head and her throat chakra and her belly and her thigh, it's really interesting how the lower leg begins to pick up some kind of energy. Oh boy. And now remember, you guys, that the lower legs are where you put childhood pictures, memories are in the calves. And the right side is support of the thigh, is support from the male in your history. And the left side is support from the female in your history. And we all have messages that we took on then. But what we're talking about today is how magical we can be. We could step out of this stuff. We don't have to stay stuck in that. We just need to figure out, break the code of our own bodies, activities. There we go. Now let's wrap these two beautiful women in light. Good. And have the healing team step over to the side with them. And now let's do the political one. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but it seems hilarious that we're having a big government run on elections now. And it's quite funny, because the Book of Revelations, I keep saying this, it strikes me as hilarious. We always thought the Book of Revelations meant kind of punishment and conflagration, the end of the world stuff. But I'm laughing because it's been so far, the Book of Revelations is a book of revealing, isn't it? We know how hoodwinked humanity has been since time began. And now the internet speed up is telling us more and more about how we thought, you know, the motivation behind some war or another. It's all the same. It's all about corralling your resources and some people getting rich and a whole bunch of people getting poor and scrabbling for lives. So let's put on the table. Let's put the Congress on the table. We've got a good old Republican Congress. And frankly, I don't care anymore about who's what. I think the whole system bamboozles us. That's the part I care about transforming. I don't think it has to be wrong. I think we have to, it's like putting a capo on a guitar neck. You want to slide it up so that they're operating from a higher frequency. So let's put the whole Congress on our table and let's take a few minutes and see yourself infusing each member of Congress. You may rub your hands together if you want to build up your light a little bit more. Some of you are doing pretty well. Some of you are kind of dull looking. Get undull. And let's put our hands at the soles of their feet or at their perineum, wherever you feel best, and send light all the way up through their bodies. And know that it's got to hit their minds too. And it's got to hit their hearts. That's it. Because I love it when I talked to Batista Papp and we talked about the power of the heart and decided that anybody who runs for government, we should be choosing candidates that come from the heart, not from the pocketbook, but the heart, right? There we go. So we're sending light all the way up through all the members of Congress and the Senate and seeing that it moves up through the heart. Good stuff. And right up through the throat chakra. And then have Mr. Obama, I call him Obama-bitty-bom-bom, put him on the table as well and just infuse him with light. Because we know that he has it in him, but he's been corralled and hoodwinked as well. And bought off, I would say. But I can't help but think that he's actually quite a good man inside. There we go. Even though they've spent billions to dethrone him and defame him and defrock him. It's amazing he's not crazier than he is. There we go. Keep doing that. Sending your light up there. Because what we want to do is not fight with these guys. We just want to raise the fields and frequency of the various people that are running our planetsky, right? Okay, now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now our final thing is we're going to draw in from the universes this beautiful, beautiful salmony pink light of harmony, of love, of inspiration, and have it come down through the top of your head and down through your neck, whirl around in your heart, up down your up to your shoulders, down your arms, out of your hands. And look at it. It's just pulsating from your hands. Yeah, and I want to see it, you patting the whole world with these. You know, there's a person I forgot to put in the healing structures. This is a wonderful woman who's worked hard on herself. Just keep patting the whole world with this light, and then we're going to go back in and do one more healing session. For Lisa, yeah, one more healing session. Have this light go round and round and round our earth, round and round our earth. Loving Mother Earth, regenerating Mother Earth. Using Ho'oponopono, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I thank you and I love you, we say when we encounter the scourges on her beautiful, beautiful spherical body. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I thank you and I love you. And have that beautiful light go round and round and round our planet until it radiates right up through the atmosphere all around the planet. And those wonderful ET beings who really love us, those are the ones I'm picking to talk to, they can see this light pulsing off it. There you go. Isn't it interesting? And then we're going to go round and round the world and have it come back up. And now we're in our star tetrahedron, and I'm going to put in a bed. This is a makeshift last-minute thing, a bed. And we're going to put in Lisa, and we're going to call in her special healing team to surround this table and ask for their help as she works with her her teeth. I'll just say that. But I can see, and you can too, the connection between the teeth and the brain patterns and the lineage and all of that. So Let's ask for some beautiful healing, for some pain reduction. Yeah, there we go. That's wonderful. Let's see if we can feel that. And the healing team is working on her, they seem to be working on her skull and jaw relationship there. Yeah. And we're asking, please, to transform the pain. She can only observe it, because pain is a message for us. Let's just see it, observe it, but not feel excruciating pain all through work and so on. And now let's wrap that in light and thank the healing team and have them move off. And now we're going to close off the Galactic Healing Center. We're going to jump into the star tetrahedron again and spin and spin and spin. Spinning, spinning, spinning. Now, are you going to call in or not? What's going to happen tonight? Let's talk about it. Well, I was talking about how I heard this thing about on NPR about our span of attention. I started wandering off. Well, I didn't wander off. It's more of a composite picture, the way I understand it anyway, the way I think I comprehend it, okay? That I'm kind of jumping into too many things at once, so my brain's going, wait a minute, one thing at a time, girl. It's interesting because they talked about your span of attention being broken up by the digital age, and it's been proven, you know, they know that it's gotten shorter and shorter. But I really believe that most of us are able to see now with much more clarity the bamboozlement that's going on in our mind because of the drive for riches, because of the drive for domination, the drive for empowerment all over the world. I really think that we're being able to see it. We're being able to see behind the wars, the deception of the news media. We're being able to see, I know many people who read things now and just don't trust it. I know many of you don't ever listen to the news, right? Because you don't want your brain to be scrambled, or you don't want your brain to be programmed by what isn't true. And I think it's really, really an important time, because as we wake up to what's really going on, it's really important for us to wake up vocally, and it's really important for us to talk about what we've learned and what we're learning. You know, you can't not be bamboozled if you don't kind of face the things, you know what I mean? So let me see here. I want to see who's out there and who's working on what. Okay, so there's a whole thing about the brain pattern. There's a lot of people studying our brain, and I can't help but think how exciting it is. The brain itself is just a programming source. It doesn't have all your ideas. It has a lot of the storage of your patterns, it seems, and it has a lot of potential, and they're only discovering now that it's very, or they've been discovering for the last 20 or so years, that it's very plastic. So instead of the old thing, which was that your brain cells die off at such and such a rate, so, oh my God, it's not ever going to be renewable. One of the things I learned years ago from, I think it's Chris Griscom's, one of her books, she's the Light Institute woman. She's an amazing woman. One of her books that really taught me a lot years ago, I really love it. It's a small book, but it's called Ecstasy is Another Frequency. And I'm not sure if it's in that book, but I think it is, where she was talking about addictions and stuff. And she was saying that the part of your brain that is looking for God, looking for spirit, is the same part of your brain that gets addicted to alcohol, for example. You know? And so it's really interesting about brain plasticity, and think about all the addictions that are going on these days. And if we can see, I don't know that this is true, but I'd love to work with some brain scans and so on. But if we can see the brains, how how they're, and I'm going to look into this, but I just haven't got a brain scanner yet, and I haven't had time to do all that. But in any case, how the brain lights up and how it is afflicted and gets stuck with addictions, which is a really huge deal in our society, right? All of that can be changed. And I was talking earlier about pharmaceuticals and people killing themselves. You know, it's really sad. But I'm sort of thinking that we might, I'm not sure it's the pharmaceuticals because it might mess up their markets, but we might be right on the verge of understanding how to change the brain in order to work with addictions, change the brain in order to work with Alzheimer's, you know, not suppress it. Remember we talked about the people in the healing team, in the healing, Galactic Healing Center, who had been suppressed, and their lives are really difficult as long as they're suppressed. And they had to learn, they have to learn how to infuse various parts of their body with a higher frequency energy, transformative energy, so that they can let their natural true nature, their true nature, shine through, even though the empathetic person, the person that they're empathizing with, usually the person they're living with, would have, say, a lower frequency. You see what I'm saying? Is that we need to learn that we're frequency beings first and foremost, and so many problems can be resolved and even edged out of what the market decrees are. A lot of you know about food, about health foods or about healthy foods and about non-GMO foods and anaphylactic shock that comes from messed up foods and toxicity and cancer-producing chemicals. We know a lot about that, don't we? You have the ability to retrain your body to regrow, regrow its cells, regrow its possibility. I mean, these are really exciting times when you think about it. I don't know if I know, this is going back to my friend who's got tooth problems. I don't know anybody who's learned to regrow her teeth or reinstall a very strong tooth in full grown years, you know. If anybody knows anything of that, please phone me or let me know, because it's very, very exciting. But we're just learning that there's so much that we can do. And I love this whole thing about the short attention span, because I'm sure it's making it easier for all of us to take a look around and measure the fact that there was deception about the Iraq War, there was deception about the Crusades, there's deception about the pharaohs, there's deception about even the birth of Christ, there's deception through the Bible, there's deception of, you know, and we don't know if there's such a thing as ETs, but they're on record since time began. In the various forms of records, I've seen petroglyphs on cave walls, which have pictures like that. There's something about, I don't know if it's Bali. I guess it was Lazarus who used to talk about that. There are societies over there somewhere in Malaysia area, which in their indigenous history, they have all kinds of ET pictures. They have discs flying and they have beings. It's like it's not new, but that it's kept from us, and it's kept from us under the auspices of keeping us safe from hysteria. But you know what it really is? It's not that. It's that they would have to relinquish power and control if there were some greater species than what's running our countries and running our marketplaces. It's like talking to several beings about the fact that we could clean up our atmosphere, we could clean up our water deficiencies, we could clean up Mother Earth, the machines exist, and so on. But apparently it's just going to be forbidden back to that whole marketplace. Isn't that interesting? And I think in this time of revelation, we know that. One of the things my guides love to say to us, too, is that remember, even if you're surrounded by corralling about a freedom-producing or prevent, okay, you know what I'm saying. If we're all surrounded by systems that keep you smaller, it's still your divine job to get to your true nature and to learn to love yourself and bring your dharma up for into the light of day and contribute to the collective, whatever is your special gift, and learning to love, love, love no matter what. Because when we cross over, this is the stuff that keeps us going. My guides keep saying it's really interesting because so many of us have come. I said this last week, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But some of you weren't listening last week, right? Anyway, so they're saying that if we came here collectively because of the end, because we were redoing the end times of Atlantis, the guides and angels are saying, you know what? You don't have to do that. When you become realized, when you become awakened to what this whole planet thing is like, when you become awakened to yourself and your true nature and your innate powers and so on, and you learn to love, just love who you are and what you are, what you go through as you go through to the other side is not to huddle together with a whole bunch of other beings, but to develop a new kind of collective of souls that has consciousness, or even to develop the individuation that gives you the freedom to go through any galactic system that you choose, to go through any form of life or any dimensional form. I don't know all that. I just know all that. Do you know what I mean? It comes through visions, and it comes through channeling, and it comes through some of the things I read. But my guides are really sweet, and what they say is, yeah, don't have to all be hooked up to do a mutual or a collective retribution of any kind. You need to individuate in such a way as you can love one another and unhook from the kinds of trials that we're all hooked together to complete. Do you understand? Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I don't know how long our time is. I think we have a few more minutes. And maybe I'll talk to a couple more of you over there. Let's see. Who else wants me to talk to? Okay. Let's see. The children. There's so many children coming in, and they have a knowing. They don't care as much if they live a long time. And that's kind of a sad thing, isn't it? Because longevity has been one of our great big doodles. But you know, the whole thing about the whole factory, this is almost too hard for me to express. But anyway, the whole factor of time is very interesting, because if you have, and I'll go back to children in a minute, but if you have like a near-death experience, you can be dead for like a few minutes and you can experience a huge, seemingly long time on the other side, right? Because it's not a linear thing. And it's really interesting because time itself, I probably shouldn't talk about this. I don't know. Okay. But anyway, sometimes when you're in a state of real trauma, you will get a huge amount of vaulted information. And in that information, you could say, wow, this could be quite a book. This could be a very huge thing. But it's only 4 minutes of your earth plane time. Because time is very, we've heard this before, is very plastic, like our brains, eh? And it's very malleable, and it's very, it's an organizer for everything being relative to everything else, you know? But it's not a stable force. So there is no time and space. And there is, when I see lots of beings on the other side, and some of you do as well, they don't have the normal sense of time that you and I have, do they? Like you can see somebody that, you know, we've heard about our past lives and that sort of thing, and they aren't necessarily past or future. They just are, and they could be what we call concurrent, but that implies time as well, doesn't it? So let's go back to the kids. The new kids that are coming in are really quite amazing. They have a sense of that perspective already in them. They have a sense of people having amazing power. They have a sense of time and space being much more navigable than what my generation did. Oh my goodness. They have like a really clear expectation of having a great deal of knowledge and a great deal of power. And they scoff that some of them are really angry because we're so stuck in the mud or we're writhing in various states of enslavement. Some of them are so wide awake. It's really shocking. So I wonder if you have any stories to tell about that, because that's a really amazing thing. So if you look at our planet, and this will be a wrap up, if you look at our planet, we're learning more and more about how our thoughts and feelings are tailored by, you know, whatever is the marketed media stuff or whatever is the marketed concept. Very little of that says to you, you can be an amazingly powerful being. You know, they don't teach us. We're not being taught by our mass marketed truths, even by religions. We're not being taught what amazing critters we all are. What would life be like if we were? And it's so interesting to me because I think of the children coming in and they're shining a lot of light. Not every one of them. It's almost like star seeds are beings that have a built-in soul drive that wants to bring consciousness up and shine some light so that you can become, as Lavendar says, you can become a member of a great intergalactic system, which humans aren't exactly invited into with too much willingness yet because we're still pretty voracious about killing and meandering that way, you know. But in any case, these kids are much more able to relate to a galactic consciousness, and some of you are and some of us are. And I think that that's kind of the point of my story, the transformation, the shift, and so on that's going on the planet is coming up through our awakening and how we love and share with one another. That's a really important thing. So this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm sorry you didn't call in tonight. I hope you have some feedback about this show. Please drop me a little note. Hit the Ask Veronica button on veronicaentwistle.com. Or if you'd like to have a session with me, I'd love to do a session with you, do some healing energy, discuss what's going on in your world. How many of you enjoyed the remote viewer? I really enjoyed that gentleman. Oh, I can't remember his name right now, but he was really, really an interesting man. And I hope you're going to check the podcast for that. And I have some more radio news coming up, but we'll do that for next time. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, let's take a deep breath, everybody. Call in the love and blessings that are coming to all of us and breathe them out to one another. One more time, bring in the blessings. And now out to one another. Good night. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening to Radiance by Design.